At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Thanks for joining us. Fox and his friends are not experts. Take these opinions as you will. Perhaps it is satire, perhaps not. I'll tell you this. The military-industrial complex doesn't care about us. We need to stop sending our children to war, to die for bankers and corporations. The medical-industrial complex want to keep us sick and weak. Stop taking their poison. The education system is merely an indoctrination program designed to produce obedient workers. The media is a propaganda machine pushing an agenda coordinated by a few men who own every channel and network. Enjoy the show. You are listening to The Conspiracy Soldiers.
All right.
Recording in progress.
All right. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. It is 10:17 a.m., March 29th, 2025. What's up, Julio?
What up, Fox? Good morning.
Yep. All right. So we were talking about this. You said you didn't really want to talk about it, but this Kai Cenat. I wanted to look up this video of him fighting this robot. The dude, so it looks like he's rich. Like he might have been a spoiled kid that was raised rich. But you said he had an interesting story. What do you know about him? I don't know shit about him.
I can't say I know much about him, but I know I've heard I kind of don't like the kid, but I saw his success and I kind of like read a little bit about him and. When he was 17, he was kind of like an outcast. Like his schoolmates didn't like him. And he turned it all around and became like this internet sensation. Huh. But I know he also got he's also gotten in like a little bit of trouble over some shit. Like some of these pranks and everything.
Yeah. Well, the one that I was talking about, he bought like a $70,000 robot and then him and his buddies beat the shit out of it. I was gonna bring it up on the show, but I couldn't find any decent. It's either like 20 seconds or it's like a half hour. I couldn't find anything in between, so fuck it. I'm not gonna worry about it. Or maybe later on, I don't know. So what's up with you?
I'm trying to find the information that you're trying to find away.
Oh, okay.
So, okay, I think I found one. I found a minute 10 clip of what you were talking about.
All right.
Of these guys fighting that robot. I mean, I wouldn't call it really fighting or beating the shit out of it.
Yeah, they were just kind of bullying it, right?
Yeah. Like pushing it down, you know, like making it kind of like fall.
All right, that's good enough.
Yeah, this is a
I'm just curious to check it out, that's all.
Viral video of a $70,000 robot apparently running away from popular streamer Kai Cenat after being kicked and bullied has sparked an interesting debate about how we interact with robots. So when you watch this clip, it looks almost emotional, right? I mean, just look at the comments. Some people are saying, oh, poor robot, while others are arguing about robot rights and abuse. But here's the thing. What we're seeing is really just a machine responding to physical forces. Now, these reactions are part of a bigger story about how we relate to AI and robots. Back in the 1960s, researchers discovered something wild called the ELIZA effect, in which people formed emotional bonds with a super basic computer program, even though they knew it wasn't actually sentient. We're seeing something similar happening now, but on a much bigger scale. So here's the question. As these robots become more advanced and lifelike, is it dangerous to empathize with them? Or is showing compassion, even to machines, just part of what makes us human? This viral video of a 70...
Yeah.
Huh.
I mean, they were just kind of like pushing it down, you know, like making it stumble and everything.
Yeah, they're
They weren't like opening his jaw and putting it on the curb and then stomping on him.
Yeah, they're laughing about it now. Wait until it acquires it's another body. Yeah. You know what I mean?
It's gonna come back for them.
That actually happened to me, not with a robot, but with a dog. All right, so I might have told this story on the show before, but I used to go to me and my buddies used to take turns for Cleveland Browns games. Like 1 week we would go to my house, next week we would go to my other friends' houses, and we would just rotate. All right, so my buddy's son got a new German Shepherd puppy, right? And his girlfriend was, of course, we always eat a shitload. You know, it's like a party, you know, every week. And so everybody's eating and stuff. And the dude whose house it was, his girlfriend was feeding the puppy from her plate, which is a bad idea. You know, I don't do that with my dogs. But,
Sonny's got to hunt his own stuff.
Right. But, but so they're teaching this dog, in my opinion, they were teaching it bad habits anyway. But, all right. So I'm over here eating and this dog is like sniffing my plate and shit, like trying to, and I kept pushing it down and stuff like, hey, Brian, control your animal. You know what I mean? And so the dog didn't like me, obviously. All right, so next season, it's time to go to Brian's house again, right? Now this dog is full grown.
And it remembers you.
Everybody was out in the backyard on the patio drinking and stuff, drinking, smoking, whatever. I come out the door, and the dog just fucking goes straight for me. He had to snatch it up. I don't know if it was going for my throat or my balls, but it was coming after me, right? He had to grab it and put it in the basement. So, that was years ago. I could still run into that dog, and it's coming to get me. You know what I mean?
It's like a crow. You know how, like, people make bonds with crows?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, that's what I'm saying. That robot could, they could transfer its memory into another, because that was a little robot they were pushing around, by the way, for the audio listeners.
It was, like, 4 feet tall or something like that.
That's not to say it wasn't strong. I mean, it's made out of steel. You know what I mean? I don't know. Yeah.
No. His experience will be uploaded into the Borg collective.
Yeah. Not only that particular robot, but all robots might not like all these robots. Guys.
Yeah. That's why I will never bash AI. AI, I love you. Remember me. I always stood up for you.
Hey, be careful what you say now. That might just be the mark of the beast.
I will be assimilated. Resistance is futile.
All right.
So, what's the Bible verse of the day?
For the day?
Yeah, I got one.
Okay, what is it?
All right, so I'm going to go with Proverbs 18, verse 24.
Uh-huh.
A man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Dude, that's what I woke up to today. And
it was in your mind?
No, like it was in the Bible app.
Oh, okay.
And it's kind of, it kind of fits into kind of like what's been going on with me, like yesterday, I did have to reach out to people that, like, my friends would call, like, spiritual bodyguards, SBGs.
Yeah.
Because my spirit was being fucked with, like, my pursuit. You know, like, I want to do some things, and, yesterday some things happened that definitely made it more difficult and kind of like made me lose clarity of that path. And I was kind of grateful to have some guys that I could call and kind of rely upon, you know, to keep my faith, to keep my path, to even though I failed in many ways yesterday. But one thing I didn't do that I do appreciate is the fact that I didn't misspeak. You know how oftentimes in trying to like counteract somebody coming at you, you might say the wrong thing and then you regret it.
Right.
That didn't happen. And like, I was very grateful when it didn't happen because I was able to reach out to different people and, you know, they kind of like talked me down a little bit and they kind of like reminded me like, hey, there's a bigger thing you got going on and you can't lose focus of that. This is just kind of like a minor inconvenience at the moment, but don't let it deter you. And honestly, like I would not have, I think yesterday could have gone a lot worse than it did. And so like, it's kind of very fitting that I woke up to that this morning. And I don't know. I know I didn't reach out to you, but I thought about it. I just know you don't answer my calls. But I know you would have been there because you're that kind of guy too. But
nothing like an early morning guilt trip.
No, but for real, like there's like I think as men we got to remember that we don't have to do it alone. We can be vulnerable, you know, when we need to one another, and a lot of times we don't realize like we're all going through the same shit,
right?
You know, and these guys, like, man, they're pillars in the community. They are, I mean, to me, they're like Captain America. You know, like they're up there, and yet they don't judge me. They understand, and they're so helpful. So I was just kind of grateful about that, and it was just a beautiful thing that that's what I woke up to.
All right. Yeah, I had a I kind of got a message from God this week. So I was listening to this podcast, right? I've been listening to a lot of like they're like a mixture between Christian and conspiracy. You know what I mean? It's there's not that many of them. But anyway, they were talking about worshiping false idols. And God was like, that's you. And I'm like, what? Thinking to myself, like, what is he talking about? And then I'm like, the only thing he could be talking about is beer. You know? Because that's, and so I think Monday I'm gonna stop for a few days. Because I've been praying, like, man, how come why are you not answering me? And then the first time he said anything was when talking about worshiping false idols. And so that's the only thing he could be talking about, because I don't get down with any of this new age crap or anything else like that. So I don't know. I'm gonna have to cut back and see if that's it. I'm sure I'll hear something. But we're going to church Sunday. Who's that?
Lily.
Oh, what's up, Lily?
He's in her pajamas. He says, what's up?
Hello. All right.
Yeah, no. I mean, that makes sense. I mean, going back to what we were talking about, Mary Magdalene last week, you know, being possessed by demons. Alcohol is a demon. It fogs you up. It dulls you up.
Well, yeah, because she was in and out of bars on that show too, you know. But we're going to church Sunday, right? And because I was messaging the pastor, I'm like, "Hey, you still at that church?" He's like, "Yeah." I said, "All right, well, so we'll probably come in Sunday." And so my wife went off on me because I've been wait
a minute. Recording stopped.
Oh, shit. All right.
Dude, have you noticed how my mustache keeps moving?
Recording
on this
in progress.
No. All right, sorry for the interruption. Yeah, so at Bible study, I think it wasn't Friday, it was the week before last week. I got on my soapbox and started talking about, like, if you go to church long enough, you're going to hear a pastor start preaching about money. And I didn't know my wife was getting pissed off the whole time, right? Because she holds it in, right? So last Sunday, I was down here in the garage drinking. And I'm like, you know what? We should start going back to church. So I messaged both of the pastors. One of them's a woman. The other one's a dude named Kyle. And so I messaged them. I said, hey, you guys still at the church, the same church? They're like, yeah. So I'm like, all right, we're coming back next week. So I went upstairs, and I'm like, hey, we're going to church next week. And she's like, all this time she was holding in this anger that I didn't know about. And she's like, oh, you want to go to church, huh? What about you were talking about? All they talk about is money and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, damn. I mean, she was coming at me hard because she's not like that. So I told everybody at Bible study about that yesterday. They got a kick out of that because she's so, I don't want to say timid, but she very mild-mannered. You know what I mean? And so I apologized to everybody. I'm like, I'm sorry for saying that. I haven't been to every single church, so how can I say that every pastor is like that? I said, I'm sorry. This ain't the place for that, and I don't want June to beat me up.
I feel you. I feel you. But did you hear about that pastor that demanded that they raise, I forget what amount of money, but he was saying, like, everybody needs to give $20. And he told his helpers, lock the doors. Nobody's leaving until everybody gives $20.
Oh, he would have got his ass kicked. You're going to lock my family in here, motherfucker?
Yeah.
He better have bodyguards with him.
Yeah, it was some African-American pastor.
Shit. There's no way he's still got a fucking job. I got to watch my language, too. I got to stop cussing him. All the time.
And you know what? I found a bypass for GD. I'm going to say, you know what? God bless, damn.
I don't know, man. That's almost worse.
That's a tough one, but I'm going to try, man.
Yeah.
You know, like, something cool happens, I'll be like, God bless.
let me see. What do you got? Anything? I'm trying to look something up. It's about Ethiopian Christianity.
I only drink Cambodian breast milk.
So this goes back to the 4th century. How can they be wrong? And they haven't been influenced by Constantine. That's the other thing. A couple episodes we were talking trash about Constantine. But then, as we've been going through, we finished the book of Acts in this past Friday. Now we're going into Romans. But, they seem like, so are you familiar, like, when everybody wanted Paul dead, mostly Jews, right? There was like 40 of them. They said, all right, we're not eating or drinking until Paul is dead, because he he brought a Greek into their synagogue, and so they said he desecrated it by bringing him in there because he wasn't circumcised or whatever. I don't understand some of it, but they said we're not eating and drinking until he's dead. And so the Romans were like, all right, we got to take care of this. Now, if that was me, I'd have been like, all right, good luck. You know what I mean? Like, but these Romans were like, they actually wanted to help these Jews. So I don't know. It's kind of like they had a lot of integrity and they're pretty noble back then. You know what I mean? I didn't always think that. So, I don't know. When it comes to Constantine, I could be wrong about some of the stuff I said, but I'm not. It was a different time, is what I'm saying. So it's hard to say, you know.
Yeah, I mean, we didn't live in the past. You know, we only live in the present, and we can only change the future, so. I don't know.
All right. So anyway, Ethiopian Christianity is different from what some of the rules that we have over here. Like I said, it goes back to the 4th century when King Izana of Aksum converted to Christianity and declared it the official religion of his kingdom. So it made Ethiopia one of the first regions in the world to officially, everybody was Christian. That doesn't mean, I mean, just because the king says so, it doesn't, probably took a little bit of time. But we talked about this before now. They claim to have the Ark of the Covenant in one of their churches, but they have a fake relic in every church so that nobody can find the real one. Which is crazy,
but there's one where the guard ends up dying.
Right, from radiation.
Yeah.
Just like in Indiana Jones, right? Which is crazy.
Yeah,
crazy that they. It's just crazy that I was watching that movie as a little kid and I thought it was all science fiction or whatever. You know what I mean? But it was all based on real stuff.
Like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Oh, yeah. Reptiles that live underground and eat pizza.
Yep.
Yeah.
Dude, I've been telling everybody that. I've been blowing everybody's minds. Or I've just been making myself sound crazy, but I've been spreading that one.
All right. I don't watch that show. I just found it on I think I might have heard it on a podcast, somebody talking about that. But, so what city did they supposedly live in?
That was like in New York.
That's what I think too. It would have been, but every town has sewers. What if it was Hollywood? That'd be crazy.
All right, I'm looking it up right now.
All right.
In Manhattan, New York City.
Yeah, okay. That's all over right, there so with Clem and Fupa.
That ties into the Jews and the tunnels.
Right. All right, I got a clip. David Icke, you know who that is?
Yep.
All right.
Nice hair.
He predicted some shit. It's kind of crazy.
Okay.
World wars change worlds. And if you have a global
2014,
agenda,
by the way,
then global problems allow you to offer global solutions. This is an agenda that's projected a long way forward. The Muslim world being brought into a war with the political Zionism, what today we call Israel, and that this would, you know, in my terms, create a vortex that would draw in the world. In our terms, America, the European Union, NATO, into this war. I mean, I know it's hard to believe for anyone frickin' sane. And then you've got what I've been saying now way back in the 1990s. The idea is for this Third World War to involve Russia and China against the West. Yeah. And what's opening up in the Ukraine, while all this is starting to go on in the Middle East, is another front against Russia. The United States is preparing for a war against Russia through Ukraine, and that what they plan is to try to take Crimea back. Saudi Arabia and Qatar, who are 51st states of the United States, there are many of those, mind, funding this ISIS and funding this terrorism, while the Americans, who could tell them to stop any time, are saying, are condemning the very terrorism that their 51st states are supporting. Well, the picture's so bloody obvious. It's a setup. When you look at it from this perspective, what is happening in the Middle East is not random. None of it's been random. Libya's not been random. Syria's not been random. None of it. And ISIS certainly isn't random. It's part of this long-term plan to take over the world by creating enormous chaos to which they can offer the order out of the chaos, their order, their new world order. When we realize that, we can see that events are not random, but coldly calculated. These people are sheer, undiluted evil. And people need to understand that, otherwise they will reject that anyone could do what they're doing and kill and maim and slaughter so many people. They can do it because they have no heart, they have no empathy, they have no emotional compassion, and thus mayhem is their currency, and they have no emotional consequence. They are not like us, so don't judge what they'll do by what you would do, because it ain't the same thing. World wars.
2014, that was.
I know, that's insane.
That was the same year that the United States and the United Nations installed their puppet cabinet into Ukraine. But I mean, it started way before that. But everybody says he's crazy, but he did not sound crazy in that interview there.
Not at all.
He likes to talk about lizard people, and he could be, maybe that's who he's talking about here. He just didn't want to sound like a nutcase.
Maybe.
Oh, I ruffled some feathers at a Bible study again this week.
Oh.
You haven't watched The Chosen, right?
No, not a lot of it.
All right. Okay, before I even get into this, would you agree that autism was caused by vaccines, probably?
Yeah.
All right. So back in the biblical times, there probably wasn't any autism, or very little. Right?
Maybe.
Yeah, it's hard to say. So in The Chosen, Matthew, from the book of Matthew, I'm pretty sure, is autistic. Or at least he appears to be autistic. He's like a tax collector. And so people were like, all right, come on now. What do you mean autistic? I'm like, so did you guys see The Rain Man? You remember how good Dustin Hoffman was with math? That's how this guy is. I mean, he's almost exactly like Dustin Hoffman's character. I mean, he's literally autistic. So I'm talking about this, and that was right after I apologized for pissing my wife off about talking about, you know what I mean? It's like, I just can't.
This made it better.
But we talked about this either last week or the week before, but they were doing some kind of behind the scenes, and they filmed a pride flag in the background of where they were filming this show, right? And so I'm like, that's just another part of the woke, you know? And they're like, what do you mean by that? I'm like, well, they had to put an autistic guy in the show. You know what I'm saying? That to me, that's, I don't know.
EDI.
Yeah, right.
Yep. Yeah, no, I don't know, man. I mean, I have compassion for people to have those genetic genetic whatevers that they can't help.
I'm not.
They didn't make a life choice, you know, to get to be like that or right. anything.
I'm not criticizing people who have autism at all. It's like, in fact, there's a guy at work that me and him don't really get along. I think he's like autistic, ADHD, and Down syndrome all rolled into one. But I told him, I said, you know what, man? I would say you're autistic, but autistic people are good at something. So you can't be autistic. So that's like
this to his face.
Yeah.
Oh my God,
I told dude. You we don't get along.
Dude, I had one of my coworkers told we have a very flamboyant African American person at work.
Oh, Lamar? Talking about Revenge of the Nerds. I'm just joking.
And my buddy, who's also black, he's like, hey, Donald Trump signed a bill that says you can't talk like that anymore. He's like really flamboyant. So that's what he was kind of like alluding to. But I was like, dude, you told him that to his face? He's like, yeah. I'm like, I love when people can have like humor and interactions like that, because I mean it's kind of funny.
Yeah.
I hate when people get butthurt, man.
Right. I came across something else too. Now what am I?
You've been hearing about these pyramids?
Oh, the structures underneath?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah. So this is what ChatGPT says about it.
Hey, how long is this video?
They were constructed.
Hey.
A minute and 25, and the volume is very low on it.
I don't hear nothing.
Well, because I paused it. Cause
oh, okay. I was going to go get
more coffee.
Yeah. If I got time.
Yeah, go.
All right.
As containment obelisks to seal something ancient and immensely powerful below the earth.
Oh shit.
Yeah, no, the volume sucks on this.
Oh. Yeah, oh, so you're not gonna hold on, man. I didn't pause it. Did you think I paused it?
Yeah, I did.
No, I'm gonna have to edit this, man. Damn.
Fuck. All right.
I'm not putting this out till tomorrow. We're supposed to go to lunch today. And now I gotta edit it. All right, so you know how they call it? What does the phrase blood of the lamb mean to you?
Blood of the Lord or blood of the Son?
Yeah, isn't that like in some of the passages or something like that? Blood of the lamb?
Yeah.
Okay. Did you know that lamb blood is a part of anti-venom?
Really?
Yeah. Which is crazy.
Whoa. Yeah.
You go back to the serpent and the Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. It's crazy, man. It's like it says right here, lamb blood itself does not have anti-venom properties. However, sheep can be used to produce anti-venom. Sheep are injected with small amounts of venom, which triggers an immune response that produces antibodies. These antibodies are then collected from the sheep's blood and used to create anti-venom. This process does not mean that lamb's blood has inherent anti-venom properties, but rather that the antibodies produced in response to the venom can be used to treat venomous bites or stings. Hmm. Hence, lamb blood anti-venom. It's crazy. What are you looking up?
Hold on.
Oh, boy. Do I need to play a clip or what? Apparently, I do.
Well, I was looking up, like, when.
When?
When we started injecting sheep's blood.
Doesn't say. What, you mean when they discovered it?
Yeah.
That I don't know. I just came across that this week.
I mean, is it like I wanted to say, like, wow, it's amazing. How did we know back then that this would be a thing? You know, like what an insane, like, vast amount of information is in the Bible that we don't realize, like, that is coded in words. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. Well, I'm not saying they knew it back then, but it's possible. I mean,
why would it be written? And then there's articles, like, I'm like looking it up right now about it. Yeah. And then they say they inject the sheep with rattlesnake venom each month, and the venom antibodies are collected later from their blood. Like, this is a real thing. Like, it, and it's in the Bible, and it was written how long ago? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It's kind of.
But now the Bible doesn't say anything about anti-venom or anything like that.
No, but covered in lamb's blood, you know, that it protects you.
But now in the book of Acts, this is towards the end, probably like. All right. So, you know how Paul basically became. He basically inherited Jesus's powers, you know, like he could heal people. He could do all the stuff that Jesus was doing. This is after Jesus ascended back up to heaven, and he started carrying on his work, right? So they were sailing to Rome so Paul could plead his case before Caesar. And it started storming real bad, and they got offset onto some island. And so Paul got attacked by a snake. It was wrapped around his arm. And he got bit, and then he just shook it off and threw it in the fire. And so the people thought he was like a witch or something like that. And they're sitting there waiting for him to swell up, and he never swelled up. So that kind of goes along with what you were saying. Like, it doesn't literally say what, you know what I mean? But it's the same thing you were talking about.
You got to decode it.
Right. Exactly.
So much of the Bible is written like that. It's like something you got to, like, keep reading and reading. And eventually, like, you end up, like, piecing together pieces.
Like parables.
Me and my friend were talking about the fact that we do not do a good job of, like, reading the Bible. We get distracted by, like, so many screens all day, even the radio.
Right.
And so him and I were talking about, like, hey, we feel like we should keep a Bible in our car. because even though we have the Bible app on our phone, it's still not enough. We still don't make time for it.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, so like, you almost need like the actual physical object to make time for it. And I forget where I was going with this.
I get it, man. And then I'll tell you what, the Bible study for me helps a lot because you know you're going to be talking about it later. So you make sure that you remember everything. So therefore, you're reading it throughout the week. You're reading it. For me, I'm probably reading it or listening to it somewhere between, you know, 5-7 times so that I retain it and remember everything because I don't want to go in there unprepared. You know what I mean? And we're only reading. Correct. We're going this upcoming week, we're going through Romans 1 through 4, which is literally maybe like 6-7 pages. So it ain't a lot.
Yeah, we just did that one. But I remember where I was kind of going with it, but like the fact that the more you read it, it doesn't matter if it clicks in the moment. It might not make any sense. But the more you read it, like, you know, like you end up thinking about it and then it makes sense. You're like, oh, my God, like this is how this applies. Same thing with the sheep's blood. Like you don't understand it. It's just, you know, like drench yourself in sheep's blood, you know.
Right.
That doesn't mean anything to me. But then you read it more and more and maybe something clicks. And I mean, like I just looked up like sheep's blood's meaning in the Bible and in treating venomous bites. And there's a connection.
Yep. All right, so are you done? Are you got anything else on that? Blood of the Lamb?
No.
I was looking something up here. All right, so we've talked about Wernher von Braun on his deathbed, right? How he was talking about the blue beam and everything that leads up to it, and he told his assistant about this woman, right? Her name was Carol S. Rosen. And she worked with him at NASA, I believe. But now she's going around doing like, you know, speaking for money and stuff. And I'd like to look it up, and I'm not sure if she gets into any of that. Cause that would probably be her, you know, her bread and butter. Cause that's probably the most thing that she's famous for. But it says she's an American speaker, author, educator, futurist, military strategist, founder of the Institute for Security and Cooperation in Outer Space. She was also the first executive of an aerospace company, working as a corporate manager of Fairchild Industries. That might be where they work together. Mm-hmm. She's executive director of the Peace and Emergency Action Coalition for Earth and the IDEA Foundation, as well as a World Peace Ambassador for the International Association of Educators for World Peace. Huh. That makes me wonder, okay, yeah, here it says, right? During her time at Fairchild, Rosen served as the spokesperson for Dr. Wernher von Braun, with whom she created the film and educational program It's Your Turn to expand the diversity of people working in science fields. So that's basically a DEI program. Yeah. We're talking... What year did he die? It was in the 70s, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Started all the way back then. This program won many awards, including the Aviation Writers Award and the Science Teachers Gold Medal. Huh. The Nazis love DEI, don't they? Maybe not.
Your words, not mine.
Right. All right. I don't know. Oh, did you hear about Melier releasing Nazi documents?
No.
Let me look it up.
Melier.
Melier. Or you can look it up. You're faster than me. I don't have any further information on it.
Melier Nazi
Argentina.
Files?
Huh?
Melier Nazi files?
Yeah. Supposed to be coming out. Might have already be out.
Show how Nazis fled Argentina or fled to Argentina.
Yeah, during Operation Paperclip.
Yeah, I got a clip.
Also known as the Rat Lions. You got a clip about that or something else?
Yeah.
Oh. Here you say
you already said I'm quicker. I'm a 30-second man, baby.
They ran. Forged document.
Hold on.
I thought you said you were quicker.
Today is about to expose a very dark secret. So when World War II ended, thousands of Nazis were desperate. I mean, they knew justice was coming and they needed to vanish. So what did they do? They ran. Forged documents, fake names, escape networks. In Argentina, it became their safe haven. This wasn't just some illegal refugee operation smuggling into Argentina. No, the Argentina government under Perón welcomed them knowingly. We're talking about 5,000 Nazis. 5,000 Nazis, war criminals, living peacefully under fake names. One of the most famous cases is, of course, the one of Adolf Eichmann that was tracked down in Buenos Aires by the Israeli Mossad. Then he was kidnapped and brought to Jerusalem to stand trial. So now, Milei is releasing the truth. Every file, every route, every name. Jewish leaders say that this is a massive breakthrough for justice and accountability. And now, Javier is taking the mask off. 5,000 Nazis, one country, no more secrets. The president.
So what does that tell you? He's Jewish.
So I had my mic muted. Yeah, they showed him kissing the wall.
Yeah.
He's got, doesn't he have like blue eyes too, or green or some?
Yeah. Yeah, and he's got kind of like the nose.
Of course he is. So.
Got some donuts.
Nice. I wonder when this information is coming out. It's not going to be anything good. Never is. Just like the stuff we're getting. They're talking about releasing the JFK files, Martin Luther King files, Epstein. Funny, they keep releasing bits and pieces, but nobody's been arrested. And nobody will. Mm-hmm. That's what I was talking about last week about Trump, man. The more that he lets us down, it just is showing who he really is. And I understand, I don't know, it just seems like they're all on the same team in some ways, but it'd be great if somebody would get arrested. One person. Bill Gates is still going around giving speeches and shit, talking about depopulation. He's not scared one bit. I just seen an interview.
I hate that guy.
No shit. He needs a bra. At least a training bra.
Hey, so this is kind of like a funny clip. I mean, it's mostly for anybody watching it, the show. But think of this. So this guy shows up to Target, and he brought his own workers. He doesn't work at Target. He's just wearing a Target uniform.
Nice. All you got to do is put on a red golf shirt, right?
Yeah.
Let's get this ironed out. Check your HR emails. We were going into a different one. They didn't need us there. They sent us here. You guys are good to go. Go ahead and bring the guys in.
Black dude, he went into a grocery store, and they released the footage because the store was trying to press charges on him. I don't know if they ever found him or not. But you know those big ass carts. He put on a Budweiser shirt and rolled an entire cart of beer out of the store and stole it. Fucking legend.
I saw that.
All right, I'm about ready to wrap it up, man. I don't know.
Yeah, man, I'm good. I'm good with that. I'm glad we got it done today. I do appreciate that.
Yeah, no problem.
I definitely want to make it a church and be in great shape. And, man, I'm really looking forward to it.
Right. Yeah, we're going to church tomorrow, man. We can talk about that all that tomorrow or next week.
This week. So it was my first time going to this church last week. And we sat in the back. But I found out that the recovery group sits in the front.
Yeah,
which I called a mosh pit, because these people are like, you know, they're like hopping and dancing and praising.
Yeah,
and it's cool. So I'm gonna be there tomorrow, and then they're also taking us to go see Disciple, which is a metal.
Oh, a
metal Christian band.
Oh, did you hear? Mel Gibson's coming out with so The Passion of the Christ, basically like part two.
The Resurrection.
The Resurrection, yeah.
Yep.
It's probably going to be a couple of years if they're just now doing it, but
it's been in the works for a while. I know he talked about it on Joe Rogan.
Okay.
It's been talked a lot. And Jim Caviezel's coming back for it. I'm pretty excited about it.
Yeah, that'll be good.
Dude, I was, I think I was like 18 or 19 when that movie came out. And I was in my university choir. And we were doing a tour. And we were in St. Louis. And we stayed with like host families.
Yeah.
You know, at every city that we were at. And this family, you know, like one of the things that we did that night was they took us to go see The Passion of the Christ. And dude, it was such a monumental moment. Like, it to this day, it's a moment that I still carry with me. And I know that my buddy who was with me, that I still kind of talk to, also still carries it with him.
Nice.
And but I mean, dude, like that movie is hardcore.
I haven't seen it. Let me ask you a question. All right. So I found it. We tried to watch it, and I was using the Fire Stick, right? And sometimes when you use the Fire Stick, it comes up in different languages. So at the beginning of it, were they talking like Aramaic?
Yeah.
Is it like that the whole movie?
Yeah.
Oh, so it's all subtitles?
Yeah.
Okay, well, I didn't realize I had the right one, is what I'm saying. All right, so I guess I'll have to read the subtitles then. We're going to watch that tonight.
Yeah. Yeah, like, so I used to have a 3D TV.
Yeah.
And I used to watch The Passion of the Christ in 3D. So every whipping was very dramatic.
So these people had to learn. Was it Aramaic they were speaking or what?
Yeah.
That's crazy. I can't believe they did that. That's a really good job then, but I'm going to check that out.
It changed their lives. It's definitely still affecting them for the most part. Even the guy that plays the guy that plays Barabbas in the movie was an atheist, and he changed his whole life after his experience in the movie, seeing, you know, like not a physical Jesus, not like a Bible Jesus, but like imaginary Jesus, for a lack of better words. You know what I mean? Because it's never going to be the real Jesus. He said it moved me that much.
Hey, well, I mean, of course it wasn't the real Jesus, but there could have been, the Holy Spirit could have been involved. You know what I'm saying? Especially in something like that.
Yeah.
And the same thing happened on The Chosen. We might have already talked about that. The father of the Fisherman Brothers, he was an atheist. And I can't remember exactly. I shouldn't even talk about it. But something happened to where he wasn't even supposed to be in the movie, but he was. They asked him to participate for some reason because he fit the character so well, and then afterwards he changed his religious beliefs, something along those lines. I'm not exactly sure.
You think that has anything to do with like I mean, I know it's, God has kind of been transforming people like for a long time, but I mean, in today's society, I think we get bogged down with social media and the media like perspective, and kind of like fed a different, you know, like way of life. But then we give God a chance and we're like, oh my God, this is the way it's meant to be.
Right.
Like I've been being lied to this whole time.
Called deception.
Yeah.
All right,
let's wrap it up, brother.
Yep. Any questions, comments, bitches, gripes, complaints, email us, conspiracysoldiers@yahoo.com.
I'm going to throw this one in. This is a new one.
Okay.
If you need a prayer, email us, message us. We'll pray for it.
Yep. Email. Hit us up on Instagram, Conspiracy Soldiers. YouTube for people that are watching the videos. I'm not really doing Rumble anymore. I'm not putting this out until tomorrow. And then 313-583-7646 or 31FluFrog6, FLU as in the Wuhan flu from China. All right. Yeah, man, if you like the show, give us a good review. Subscribe, like, follow, whatever. And tell your friends. The main thing is tell your friends.
Give us a great review. One of the greatest reviews, please.
All right, everyone. Thanks for listening. Conspiracy Soldiers is going dark.
Live rounds. Seven, 7.62mm. Full metal jacket.
My name is Gunnery Sergeant Highway, and I've drunk more beer and pissed more blood, banged more quiff, busted more. Numbnuts put together. Now Major Powers has put me in charge of this recon platoon.
We take care of ourselves.
You couldn't take care of a wet dream.
Y'all know about killing?
Well, I'd like to hear about it, potheads.
so to escape from reality. Yeah, I don't need this shit. I am reality.
Now, I got no fight. But any man does what he's told. And when he don't, the machine breaks down.
And when the machine breaks down, we break down.